there aren't too many people who get a master's degree these days.
Well, yes, among the crows that is, but they're coming along. They're coming along.
Oh, the first one.
He was the first one.
Joe Medicine Crow here was the first.
Yes.
With us now.
Yes.
And Connor, while we're going to talk. Could you tell us something about the ceremony that we're going to see pretty soon?
Well, this is an elaborate affair. It didn't used to be quite this elaborate, but since we have come into, we have been civilized. I say that reservedly.
I do, too.
But it used to be...
It's a nasty word.
Yes, yes. A boy is not married until... a boy and a girl is not married until... No, not yet, honey. You wait a while till I take you.
No.
Joyce has some grandchildren here, and like grandchildren the world over, they have to get their words in, too. So you just heard this. We're telling Tony that he can't go swimming.
Now, we told him that he would have to wait until it's warmer. And
you know
what
works, Claire?
Well, you better go have Grandpa watch you before we... No, hey, look, we're recording. No, quick. Well, I guess we can...
Boys the world over, the same.
Yeah. A boy is not... Go back to the ceremony. The boy is not married until the groom's parents and relatives present him to the tribe in all the finery which we consider worthy of a daughter-in-law. And so it's usually our crow bridal gown is the ox suit.
Yes.
But you know how scary the item is anymore.
I do.
So it's easier now to prepare buckskin dress, an elaborate buckskin dress. And so this is what we use. Even the imitation ox suit that we use are all bought up, and I think the movie companies who have been here and collected the items for their costume department have probably have gotten away with most of our outfits. So we don't have those anymore, so this girl will probably be presented this afternoon in a beautiful beaded buckskin dress.
What clan is she from?
That I don't know. I should know. But I don't know. It's one of the smaller ones. As it is, you know, there are 13 clans.
Joe,
he would. I imagine he would know.
Can you tell us what clan she belongs to?
What clan? A monastic something. There
you got me there.
The grandmother is sitting over there. She would be able to tell.
You thought, yeah, she owes you then. Her clan uncle,
I'm a clan, yeah, and I'm a clan aunt, yeah. Because it's obvious that her father is Henry Rides the Horse.
Oh, Bailey.
Oh, well, in that case, she owes her.
But I don't know her mother.
Hi, Susie. How you doing?
Hi.
Hey, come
hello.
To the
yep. How are you?
Good. Excuse me. I got.
Good corner.
I know him too.
Hi, Mr.
We're doing a recording about things coming up.
And then stuff. Sit down.
Have a chair.
Yeah.
Do you know what the clan? Any bad horses? One of the smaller ones, I think.
I don't know.
I will get that in just a little bit. I can run over there, but that will...
Yeah,
we'll
come back to the clan pretty soon.
Any I explain this system here?
Yeah, go ahead and explain the system. We'll come back to the clan.
You mean the wedding?
Yes.
Yes. And then all of Joe's people are being...
Everything inside this kitchen is going to her.
Yes, this is her very own. And then if she decides to give...
She
whatever she decides to keep for herself, she will. And then she will distribute some of the other things that have been given to her brothers, to her uncles, and to the men in her family. And they, in turn, one day they will get together like this, and they will, in turn, present Ronnie with gifts. So this is a wedding exchange, a gift exchange. A lot of times, it goes on and on, but that is the way we carry this on. And until this is done, she is not married. You know, she may be legally married, but as far as the tribe is concerned, now after this day, she's legally Ronnie's wife among the tribe.
Go get a chair, will you?
Cool.
A chair.
What?
I'm trying. Tell him we need a chair for Susie, please. Run, quick. Hurry. Hurry. Up, up, up. Well, the teepee was made by Donald Deernose made the teepee, didn't he?
I don't know. Is this Agnes's teepee? Oh, no, it's Mrs. Whiteman's teepee.
Mrs. Whiteman.
Yeah, Ronnie's grandmother. That, of course, is Joe's mother. And this is the way it should. I mean, this is the way we do. In the old days, the girl was equipped with all her housekeeping tools and her equipment. And then they were on their own. But today, well, first you see the bedroom suite in there. It's a beautiful Spanish.
Really is.
Yes. I think it's Spanish provincial or Mediterranean. And then it's equipped from the sheet clear on through to whatever they bring. I imagine there will be utensils for keeping house, for cooking utensils. And they're practically independent after today, I think, as far as housekeeping is concerned. They will have enough to set up housekeeping wherever they choose. If they find a place with housing as shortage of housing as it is. Where are they living now, Joe?
With us.
At the moment, yeah.
Why are you carrying on?
All right, we'll see you. Thanks, Joe.
I'm going to bring a sun dance t-shirt.
Okay. Go ahead and tell us anything. How long about the old custom in marriage?
How old the old marriage?
Yes,
custom?
Anything.
Oh, well,
that
this
you
is,
just
this
tell
is
us
as
all
far
about.
Back as far back as there has been clothes. I guess this is the way it has been. It used to be, you know, that the men bought their brides. They would
horses
and all the whatever goods they have, clothing or robes, horses and food, and usually the mother of the bride of the girl was presented with meat, and if she accepted, then the negotiations took place. Between the bride and the groom's people.
Is there any of that hold over today?
No, there isn't anymore. There was one last one when I was a young girl, but that was the last time I had seen this buying the bride and purchasing a bride. It isn't so anymore. These youngsters are too strong-willed, and they've decided that this is not the way it's going to be any longer, so. So, but the old people said that these kind of marriages had a far better chance of succeeding than where you chose your own partners, your own mates, because they looked into the family and to the character of the ones involved, and they want that girl for their son because those are healthy people and they're intelligent. Well, we knew all of this, you know. We're not quite as uncivilized and as barbarian as people would have you to believe. We had a real good system. The clan was a very real thing to us, and I guess we must have been families to begin with. And
and so Azura does not marry into her mother's clan, and neither does she marry into her father's clan. The fathers, the men in her father's clan are all her fathers, you know, their uncles, as we refer to them as fathers. And to her mother's clan, they are her mother's also, and sisters. And so you don't marry into your father's clan, and this is one way of keeping the families vigorous and healthy. And we don't marry, we don't allow our young people to marry even to the second, third generations, because they're still your relatives in your clan, and your father's or your own clan. And all this is unheard of for, but now these youngsters don't have any idea what clans they belong to or what they are. It's fast period, you know. So we are trying to revive some of this and re-educate our young people, because there aren't too, the chances are these youngsters are going to be marrying back into the tribe, and who they should know who. Which is the which clan is acceptable? But I don't know how successful we will be. I'm involved in this bilingual, bicultural education program at the Crow Agency, and this is what we are trying to do.
You're teaching now.
Yes, I'm teaching at Crow Agency now.
Where did you go to school first?
Which first?
College.
Oh, I went to Bacon College in Oklahoma, and I graduated from junior college there, then I went to California.
Where in California?
Well, this is the Jim Lyon Show.
Mr. Lyon Show, nice to meet you.
George Conrad.
Yeah. We're going to get out the hills one of these days together.
Been planning that for about 5 years. I know you. Maybe you could explain it a little bit. So
in what way? What?
Well,
what kind of a place is that that you know about that we're going to go to?
Fort. Fortification. You didn't find that place, when you on the little Prior Mountain?
No.
East Prior got my, on the Big Prior's? Little Mountain. Little Mountain. The biggest mountain.
West?
Carbon County.
That's West Prior Mountain on the map, isn't it?
You've been up there?
No, I've never been up on West Prior Mountain.
Describe what they do, how they're milled, built, how big and so forth. Oh, that's pretty big. Pretty big guy.
After, he said, now you know you have to pay outside tuition and all, because according to the catalog, that was understood.
What is that?
Oh, what?
Is it round or square?
Round. The
round,
last one was when a week
logged like this.
Everything was all set, and I thought
big
I was
boulder.
Going to go.
The ends of the logs are kind of interwoven.
Yeah, they're just built like a white man's house. Yeah, log cabin. How high?
Is there a roof on it at all?
No.
Nasty. And about this time, my father said, now, Joey, do you have
rocks are built into it?
Yeah. Yes, I do now.
On the outside or on the inside?
And
inside.
So it just
inside.
Yeah.
Rock.
And
they build up rocks and then lay the creek up against the rocks.
Logs,
yeah.
Two logs.
Is there a door?
Maybe it was.
No door.
No door.
They cross. They have to climb over.
Yeah.
And they go over in there too.
Myself.
The way to
do.
All barred up and then they dig a hole in there. Hmm. Been about what? 20, 30, 40, 50 people getting in this? He's how old, Duga? About 50?
Boy, that's quite a structure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't get her. I can't go by the word. Too tall. It might be parked down, but still.
You think maybe a fire could come and destroy it? What beer, Kotka?
Ah, Kotka.
We better see that.
We're trying to...
Forest fire could come and ruin it.
Yeah. We're trying to take pictures of all these and write descriptions of them so that if they do get destroyed, we'll know what the Indian people had in years past.
Yeah. How come you know about this from some old Indian or... Everybody knows about it.
Yeah.
Old time.
I think I'm people the warriors who got pen up there, yeah.
They're not crows.
They're not crows.
The crows caught the piegans there.
Yeah.
Wow, wonderful.
Yeah. How are you, Blue?
How are you?
How many? About 60?
Well, talk about it.
I don't think it would be any good.
They clean them up.
45 for that.
45, they clean them up. Well, we got three stories now. Jim Beckworth's story. Edward Rose's story. No, this one. Then those things up there.
Yeah. That's great. Can you remember who told you about this, Mr. Lineshore?
Oh, I hear. They're all gone here.
Plain Feather know about it?
My wife, Yellowface.
Yeah. I know.
The Yellowface. See the guy that fought with Custer? He's still out here. They were shot.
Why ain't
that? Oh, see no. He's shooting. That's
no man. Yeah. Oh. That
little Indian?
Yeah.
He's got shot. They were a crow fair going to start to be shot.
Ah, go Custer. Yellowface.
Well, apparently Yellowface knew about the story. I thought he was the same guy who fought with Custer. But his name's Half Yellowface.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Half Yellowface.
Yeah,
that's
Yellowface.
But he was in the scuff, too, that Yellowface man.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea when this battle between the Piegans and the Crows took place?
I don't know. Where is it?
Could have shipped before Custer?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure anxious to go up and record that and take the pictures. And we file this stuff with the Smithsonian Institution, you know, so that it'll never be lost again. The information will always be there.
Is it
pretty much up on top of Little Mountain?
Way up on top.
Well, I've got a Jeep, but right now the back axle is broken. And they didn't have a single back axle in Billings. They had to send to the factory, but by next week sometime it'll be repaired. I'm going to be out of town next weekend, but this fall, if it dries out, I'd be happy to go up.
Maybe in a couple of weeks the snow will go off.
Yeah.
I remember when we were
at school.
We had
Well, the skunk fell off.
Over here, you know, I found that place finally by myself one day. Joe couldn't make it one day when we were supposed to go, so I just went on up and I took good photographs of it so that it won't ever be.
You've gone up on top of that point, huh?
Yeah, where the skunk, where the vision quest.
Just over here. Just where you come into that point. Just while you're coming to a point and turn off on the road here.
We can't say that. We can't say that. Mm-hmm. We don't know how.
It's on the right side, right in that tree there.
So he wanted to fight this one.
Right near there.
But you won't have to go on top. I walked up from the bottom, you know, from the farmland.
Oh.
I walked up the side of the hill.
Oh, up that trail, huh?
Well, there wasn't any trail where I was. There may have been a trail 10 feet over. But I didn't see it. I figured out where the point was, where the fasting took place, or where I thought it did, and then I just walked up the hillside there. And of course, then there's that little swale, and where the skunk fell off is across on Little Mountain there. But I was just up where the fasting took place, where the fasting beds are.
Oh, that's the point rock.
Yes.
Right under that William Bering's guy there. There's a trail that leads you right up on top.
Is that right?
Yeah. Pretty good trail.
Hey, Buster!
Fast. Hey, Buster!
Hey, Buster!
I would, but I couldn't go there.
That's good. I said, Wallace could come a couple of years back to him.
He said he... Wallace Red Star Festival. Yeah, well, oh, thanks, buddy. Maybe we'll go next week, 2 weeks. Well, only trouble, you know, you were going to bring some steaks, but he can't chew. Better bring him some hamburgers.
Well, I can grind a pound or something.
We'll have whatever you'd like best.
Okay.
I'll try to get some good fresh corn and freeze it or something so we can have some. Of course, you couldn't eat the corn all very well, could you?
Yeah.
I'll bring you some.
Are you coming back, Joe?
Oh, yeah.
Stuart Connor. Nice to meet you.
Chester.
Oh, yes, I've seen you before. Thank you.
Good luck.
Mr. Good luck.
Yeah.
Nice
good luck.
To meet you.
We're the third generation.
How are
you? I think Joe and I probably were the last group of youngsters to attend reservation day schools, you know,
Well, we've got seven alone here at the roof left. We only got four left.
About that time, then it became public school, and we were able to go to public schools then. But we used to go to school from here, you know, right from my father's school here. That's where my grandparents went.
Medicine pipe, go into a hot bit. Into a hot
bit. Did they record that medicine pipe ceremony?
I suppose they did. I suppose they did.
Wasn't
that well, anyhow, let me introduce these gentlemen. Got it on?
Yeah, it's on.
My right here is Chester Medicine Crow.
This body is solid. 72
years of age.
70. Two of the oldest members of the tribe, they still wear the long hair, as you see.
Wonderful. I'd like to take pictures.
Yeah.
Too.
And if you want to know something about the peace pipe, he knows all about it. He can do the peace pipe ceremony. Both of them do.
One of the things that I'm interested in about the pipe, and I don't know very much about that particular pipe that was where you had the ceremony a few days ago. Is this pipe, does it kind of protect the whole tribe, or is this an individual pipe for just one man? I don't know how to quite put it right, Joe, but you know, the Cheyennes have pipes that are for, or they have arrows that are for the whole tribe. But most of the Crow things that I know about, the Crow medicine is just for one person.
When? Well, the origin of this thing was back in when the reservation was still over there at Columbus, Sarokee. Some people from North Dakota, the Hidatsa, or the so-called Grovan, brought this thing over here and adopted his father and mother, Medicine Crow, and his wife, Mrs. Medicine Crow. He adopted these two people into that ceremonial society. And from that day, the Crows have been using this thing, and he's the only one who can hold this thing. And the name of the Indian who brought this thing over was Kidney. I guess there are two over there. We're the only tribe that's got it.
Thank you.
Dakura, Hiraga. Koib, Terakura.
He's got that original pipe.
Two weeks ago
they opened it up with due ceremony for the Park Service people. Bob Taylor and Bruce Shaw. You have to go through all kinds of ceremonies to open that thing.
Well, Joe, does this pipe, the pipe has supernatural power?
Yes. Something like the medicine arrows.
Does this power go to all the tribes?
Himself. Well, according to his recollection, that he's the only one that can open that peace pipe, and there are just very few left who can participate in that, including my mother.
There's some sort of a society that has the right.
Yeah, it is a society.
But it's kind of died off so that there's only Chester Medicine Crow and your mother.
Just very few left, yes. You can do that. Well, when his father and mother were inducted, they likewise inducted him through ceremony, so he can hold that ceremony. Now he's the only one that can do it. And yes, but hey, Doc, Bazado, go with that.
Doc was a father.
Well, he'll be willing to open it again, but gotta go through according to protocol, certain procedures that they have to put up a fee and so forth. And these two gentlemen were gonna have a ceremony here. Well, excuse me, I gotta take some pictures. Excuse me. Come on. I guess he really missed me. May have to open it.
I wish
I was been opening it. Well, last 70 years.
What power does a pipe have?
Well, the one that he pipe carrier. He could command. And his father was a big time commander. And also it's used for a, well, in the case of a dispute in the tribe, while this chief, in case of medicine, he presented the pipe to the aggrieved person. And vengeance and all that sort of stuff. That's kind of what peace pipe actually means.
Well, this pipe that they opened the bundle of a couple of weeks ago, is that one a peace pipe in nature, or is
yeah.
this?
That's the one they brought over from North Dakota, and they adopted Medicine Crow and his wife. This society, and they were the only ones that can do it. They adopted him on top.
Was Medicine Crow Chester's father
mm-hmm.
and your grandfather?
So he's the only one that can open that and keep that pipe. He's got two of them.
Mama?
Mm-hmm. Then they have to go through all kinds of ceremonies, singing. I saw it once. He took it to All American Indian Days and he went through the whole ceremony and he showed it up there in the exhibit hall.
That wasn't the one from North Dakota though.
That's the same one. He's got two of them.
Are the two that he has both from this same society?
Then also Parks, there was brought two from the Smithsonian. Apparently, two of them got away. You know.
Probably. Did Wild Chute get those? Do you know?
I think so, yeah. They brought them back. So, what the show you? Hello.
Hello.
They took them back. Anyhow, two of them got away to Smithsonian, they brought them back. Mm-hmm. Together with this, they opened the four of them. Only four left. Yeah, there are only four left. Guys into holding a ceremony here next spring. Spring, Kyotet Konir, fall, go. Yak, Iris Sado, go.
Iris Sado, a pushy, a pushy, a pushy, a pushy,
would they be willing to talk a little bit about the Tobacco Society?
Yeah, I suppose so. They're both members.
As I understand it, they're the two leaders of the Tobacco Society.
Yeah,
now.
They're just about two left, including the old man, John Whiteman. He can still do that.
Has there been any tobacco planting in the last few years?
Oh, about 5 years ago, they planted some.
been
was
any
an awful dry year and didn't have any crops. Our bottles. Very few survived.
Do you still have the seeds?
Oh, yeah. Three of them left now that can do that. Yeah, these two and Winona Plenty Hoops. She's got some too.
Are
that was a sacred seed that was given to them about 400 years ago at Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Two brother chieftains, you know, that are fasting there at Devil's Lake, North Dakota. And one of them received the sacred seeds, and he was told to go up to the big mountains. Of course, there are no mountains over there. And to plant it. And that's how come they come out west. And the Great Spirit told him, said, so long as you do this, so you will remain a people, you'll be rich, powerful, and so forth. But once you quit it, you'll be through. And they still do it. They still go at it every week.
What do you mean, go at it?
Oh, that ceremony. They keep that up.
This is a tobacco ceremony?
Yes. Keep up that ceremony.
What does it consist of?
Oh, it's an elaborate ceremony. It's a year-long deal. You have to go through certain prerogatives, adoptions. They adopt new members. Then they plant new seeds. Which they haven't done for a while now, for about 3-4 years.
Do they still have tobacco society adoptions?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. They do it all the time now.
Tobacco society is still quite active in?
Oh, yes. I think that probably the only reason we still exist as a tribe is because of that thing, you know. They do it. And it creates a certain unity among the tribesmen, good feeling. We're gonna have one tonight. This is. We're gonna have one tonight. So right after this one's over.
Be here in Lodgecraft.
Oh, a little dance. it up. They're going to have a singing, not a school ceremony. Kind of a song festival.
Do they have sort of social functions that go along with the tobacco
society?
Yeah,
they eat, yeah. Exchange gifts. So I guess they're going to have it tonight. I don't belong to it. Have to be inducted. Yeah, that thing in the clan system, I think that's making the Crow tribe a functioning outfit. You're a Crow because you follow these customs. Once they're gone while you're through, just be on. Well, why don't you see some more people? That Sundance man is going to talk to you.
Who is that, Jack?
Oh, David Batten.